وَوَهَبْنَا لِدَاوُدَ سُلَيْمَانَ. We gave the gift to Dawood of Sulaiman. نِعْمَ الْعَبْدُ. What an incredible slave. What an amazing slave of Allah. Allah is proud of this slave of His. His quality that makes him a really amazing slave is he keeps, his heart keeps turning back to Allah over and over and over and over again.
What did Sulaiman inherit from his father? Inherited from him prophethood and kingdom. He said, O Allah, give me a kingdom that will occur to nobody else after me. Verily, you are the bestower. Sayyidina Sulaiman is asking for a kingdom that will be a miracle. And that would be the miracle of Sulaiman. And we will see that it was truly a miracle.
Let's start moving and seeing what Allah gave Sulaiman. He gave him knowledge. He gave him wisdom. He gave him prophethood. He gave him the ability to judge between people in the most correct manner. He was a very, very sound judge between people. And Allah gave him kingdom over and above that, and lots of wealth.
Sulaiman was given a kingdom that no one in the past and no one in the future will ever have. And his kingdom, as I mentioned, my brothers and sisters, wasn't only the buildings and the countries and the state and the land. Wasn't only wealth. But the kingdom of Sulaiman, it's a miracle within itself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave Sulaiman alayhi salam the understanding of the language of the birds. And Sulaiman did not only understand the language of the birds, but Sulaiman understood the language of the animals.
He could communicate not only with the birds and with the animals and with various other creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but Allah gave him the power to control the wind, Sulaiman alayhi salatu wa salam.
Sayyidina Sulaiman had control over the wind for a distance of a month. So he can use wind to travel for him and accomplish things a distance of a month. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and we made a fountain of brass to flow for him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provided him with the fountain of brass. This brass would come out molten and he can mold it in whatever form he wants.
Over and above that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him the power to control the jinn kind, all of them, under his authority.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the shayateen, the devil's servants, with Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam, and he would command them with whatever order he wants. Some of them would dive in the oceans and some of them would build for him.
He was able to jail them, to imprison them, to punish them, to use them in whatever way he wished. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, at the same time, our worshipper, نِعْمَ الْعَبْدُ إِنَّهُ أَوَّابٌ. What an excellent worshipper. He too used to turn to us often. Allahu Akbar.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Brothers and sisters in Islam, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Sulaiman, as we know him as Solomon, Sulaiman alayhi salam is the son of Dawood, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, Sulaiman became the heir of Dawood. He inherited his father, Dawood.
What is the meaning of inheriting here? He got the prophethood as well as the fact that he became king. When it comes to something monetary and material, the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do not inherit and they do not leave something to be inherited, but everything goes out as charity.
Sulaiman alayhi salam did not inherit the money. He did not inherit no wealth. As the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said
that the prophets and the messengers do not leave any inheritance behind. They don't leave lands behind. They don't leave houses and palaces and goods behind. What they leave behind as inheritance is the knowledge.
Sulaiman alayhi salam grew up very, very intelligent young boy. Watching his father judge, he used to sit on the side and listen. And as time passed, Allah gave him more wisdom and so on. And a few times there is mention made of him interrupting in his father's judging and putting forward his suggestion as a young boy. Let's make mention of some of this. That one day there were two women who had babies, little babies. And they had put their babies down and gone to do something either in the field or somewhere. And one of the babies was snatched by a wolf or a fox. And they came back to find only one. So the older woman is saying, it's my child. The younger one is saying, it's my child. What did they do? They said, let's go to Dawood. They went to Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam and told him the story. And he looked at the matter And he considered both. He probably thought that, you know, the older one, let her take the child, because the younger one can have another child, inshallah. So he says to the older one, you can take the child, and the younger one, you know, it's not your child, and let the older one take the child. And Sulaiman alayhi salam, young boy, sitting there, he says, oh my father, I have an opinion. The father says, yes my son, what is it? Speak to me, tell me. So he says, look, now both of the women are listening. Dad, let's bring a knife. We cut this child in half, give half to her and half to this one. That's it. So now the two of them look at each other. Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam is trying to agree with his son. And as he's trying to agree with the son, the little one says, no, not at all. No ways. We want to have mercy on this child. Never mind, no problem. Give the child to the older one. Whereas the older one was just silent looking at the child. So Sulaiman alayhi salam says, Dad, don't you think that this child belongs to the younger one? She has more mercy over the child than the older one. So Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam ruled that that child go to the younger one. Subhanallah. And he benefited from his son. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us children whom we can benefit from as well.
There is another case that was presented to Sayyidina Dawood alayhi salam. These were the two neighbors. One of them had a farm and the other one had sheep. The owner of the sheep forgot to lock his gate at night time. So the sheep, they went into the farm and they enjoyed themselves. And they destroyed everything in the farm. The owner of the farm wakes up in the morning and sees that his farm is eaten by his neighbor's goats or sheep. They went to Sayyidina Dawood to ask him to give his hukum, his judgment. Sayyidina Dawood listened to both sides, and his hukum was, his judgment was, that the owner of the farm takes over the sheep, because it was due to the carelessness of the owner of the sheep. The owner of the sheep should give up his sheep to the owner of the farm as a compensation. Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam was outside of the court. When they came out, he asked them what happened. They told him what was the hukum. Sayyidina Sulaiman took them back and he told his father, I have another hukum. My hukum is that the owner of the sheep should give the owner of the farm the sheep. The owner of the farm will keep the sheep with him and make use of their milk, while the owner of the sheep fixes the farm. And as soon as the farm is fixed and returned to its normal state that it was in, then the owner of the sheep takes back his sheep again. And Sayyidina Dawood realized that this is the right hukum. So he approved it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Quran, we gave the right understanding to Sulaiman. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it clear to us that both of them had the understanding in applying the Sharia of Allah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after saying, we gave right understanding to Sulaiman, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we gave them both knowledge and the right judgment. Both Dawood and Sulaiman had the knowledge and had the right judgment. It is just that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave this understanding to Sulaiman in these situations. And where was Sulaiman learning? Anyway, who was training him? It was his father. Allah here is commanding the family of Dawood, Dawood and his son, to give thanks. But notice here an important word in the ayah. What does the ayah say? Umalu. We always think of thanks as a word to say Alhamdulillah. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying in the ayah, and act with thanks. So thanking Allah is not only through the word, it's also through the actions. Act with gratitude and thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, only a few of my servants are thankful and grateful. Sayyidina Dawood and Sulaiman were at the highest levels of knowledge in their time. Nobody else had the more knowledge than they did. Nobody had more understanding than they did. They were the Anbiya of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that we gave them knowledge. What was their response? They said, all the praises and thanks be to Allah, who has preferred us above many of his believing slaves.
So Sulaiman alayhi salam inherited Dawood alayhi salam, and he told his people, Allah has blessed me with the speech of the birds, and he has granted me absolutely everything. So much Allah has granted Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam. Let's start moving and seeing what Allah gave Sulaiman. He gave him knowledge. He gave him wisdom. He gave him prophethood. He gave him the ability to judge between people in the most correct manner. He was a very, very sound judge between people. And Allah gave him kingdom over and above that, and lots of wealth.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave Sulaiman alayhi salam the understanding of the language of the birds. And Sulaiman did not only understand the language of the birds, but Sulaiman understood the language of the animals.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tested Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam with some test.
We tested Sulaiman alayhi salam to the degree that we had his body placed on this throne as though it was completely dead until he sought forgiveness and turned back to us. What Al-Fakhr al-Razi says is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tested Sulaiman. He gave him everything that we just mentioned now. And on top of that, he made him sick and ill. He was sick, a very severe sickness. Mankind and the doctors could not help him. The birds and in his entire army of birds could not help him. It is reported that they flew across finding herbs from various corners of the globe and brought for him, couldn't help him. Until he couldn't move and he was as a dead person on his own throne. And his kingdom was now almost as though it was taken from him because he was more or less totally immobile. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, then he turned to us and he sought forgiveness. He made a dua, oh Allah, forgive me. Look at how he started it.
And after he asked Allah for forgiveness, he made a dua. He said, oh Allah, give me a kingdom that will occur to nobody else after me. Verily, you are the bestower. Sayyidina Sulaiman is not asking for a kingdom for the sake of kingdom. That is not the action of the Anbiya. Sayyidina Sulaiman is asking for a kingdom that will be a miracle. Because every Nabi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them a miracle. Sayyidina Sulaiman asked Allah to give him a kingdom that will be unique. And that would be the miracle of Sulaiman. And we will see that it was truly a miracle. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted the dua of Sayyidina Sulaiman. Allah says,
we immediately gave him the control of the wind. It blew according to his command and instruction. Wherever he wanted it to go, it went. Amazing! Amazing! Allah says, for Sulaiman, we granted him the power of using the wind that covered a journey of 1 month in one morning. And Allah says, in the afternoon, it covered the journey of another month. So in one day, you would cover the journey of 2 months. That's what Allah says. What would happen? He had bisath. He had a laid sort of a wooden plank, say more or less a mattress or a platform. His army or members of his army were instructed to sit on it, and he told the wind, take it. It would take them a journey of 2 months in one day. Drop them off and come back. Allahu Akbar. And what would happen? The wind would blow it. Imagine, he instructed the wind. Allahu Akbar. Look at the power of Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam. Over and above that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him the power to control the jinn kind, all of them, under his authority. He was able to jail them, to imprison them, to punish them, to use them in whatever way he wished.
Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam was praying and he started making moves in his salah. So the Sahaba asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, what were you doing? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam said, a shaitan came in front of my face and he wanted to distract me from my salah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam pushed him first. He came back. He pushed him a second time and he came back. Pushed him the third time. The shaitan came back. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam grabbed him and choked him. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam said, I felt his saliva dripping on my hand. He choked him so hard. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam said, and then I was about to bring him forward and tie him to a pillar in the masjid so that the kids could play with. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam said, but I didn't do so because I remember the dua of my brother Sulaiman when he said, oh Allah, give me a kingdom that will occur to no one else. What does this mean? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam was about to take control of this jinn and tie him to the masjid. But the reason why he didn't do so is because he remembered that this is something that was unique with Sayyidina Sulaiman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the shayateen, the devils, servants with Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam, and he would command them with whatever order he wants. Some of them would dive in the oceans, some of them would build for him.
whatever Sulaiman orders the jinn, they must do. The jinn used to build temples for Sulaiman alayhi salam. Massive temples that human being can put together. Palaces, massive palaces. And those palaces used to be built in a very quick time that human being can't follow up. Watamathil, and they used to build for him great statues. They used to build for him massive pools, massive boilers of basins in the ground. Build things for Sulaiman, make things for Sulaiman that human being, thousands of them can't do what probably few jinn can do. The shayateen used to dive in the oceans and get all the pills and jewelry from the bottom, deep end of the oceans and bring it all to Sulaiman alayhi salam.
And there were jinn that worked in front of him by the leave of his Lord. And whomsoever of them turned aside from our command, we shall cause him to taste the torment of the blazing fire. Any one of these jinn who would go against the orders of Sulaiman will be punished.
And he had also the authority to tie up these jinn in such a way that they would be slave for him, doing whatever he wants, all tied up in a line in a uniform fashion. So he had them in his army, and he had the wind in his army, and he was a king at the same time and a warrior. He was a warrior. He had one of the biggest armies in history, in living memory. Subhanallah. What a powerful man. So humble. So just.
And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and we made a fountain of brass to flow for him. This was a fountain. Allahu alam how. But it would flow with brass. We know that his father Dawood alayhi salam had the ability to mold iron. With Sayyidina Sulaiman, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provided him with the fountain of brass. This brass would come out molten, and he can mold it in whatever form he wants.
Sulaiman was given a kingdom that no one in the past and no one in the future will ever have. And his kingdom, as I mentioned, my brothers and sisters, wasn't only the buildings and the countries and the state and the land. Wasn't only wealth. But the kingdom of Sulaiman, it's a miracle within itself. The scholars say, two Muslims ruled the world and two non-Muslims ruled the world. The two Muslims who ruled the world are Sulaiman alayhi salam and Dhulqarnain. And the two non-Muslims are Bukhtar Nasr and Namrud. And the most powerful one out of all of them who really ruled the whole world and had that power was Sulaiman alayhi salam. And Allah Azza wa Jal had gathered together unto Sulaiman alayhi salam the armies from mankind and the jinn and the birds. And some of the scholars say the reason that Allah Azza wa Jalla mentioned the jinn before the ins is because his army of the jinn was much bigger than the army of the ins. When Sulaiman alayhi salam used to call them for an assembly or a gathering, they will all stand lining up in order. The jinn, the ins, and the birds in the air protecting them from the sun. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's miracle. This is Allah Azza wa Jalla's gift to Sulaiman alayhi salam. No one in history had ever had this miracle in which the army of the human beings, the army of the jinn, the army of the animals, these are the major creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on earth. They were all an army and soldiers in the hands of Sulaiman. So he was a powerful king.
Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, we had gathered for Sulaiman alayhi salam on a certain occasion his army from mankind, from jinn kind, and from the birds. And they were all together moving in a certain direction.
They were marching and they came into a valley. And this valley was occupied by ants. Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam doesn't know that this is the valley of ants. He was passing through it. His army was marching. And when they came across the valley of ants, one of the ants saw the army approaching. It was the first ant to see the army coming. What would be a natural reaction when you see an army of humans and jinn and birds in the air marching towards you? And you are the small creation, an insect. What would be the natural reaction in such a situation? You would run away from danger. But the ant didn't do that. And subhanallah, we find a lesson. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't mention anything in Quran except for a reason.
When they passed the valley of the ants, Sulaiman with his huge army, a massive army, as he is passing the valley of the ants, he notices one ant, one, calling out to the rest of the ants, O nation of ants!
Oh, ants! Go hide into your places, into your houses, which is underground, before Sulaiman and his army destroys you. Look at this massive army! And look at the respect. Look at the respect that the ant gave to the Prophet Sulaiman. What did she say there? وَهُمْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ Sulaiman and his army will destroy you and demolish you without them realizing. Without them realizing. Subhanallah, this is a prophet. And she had that respect to that prophet. And Allah Azza wa Jalla inspires whoever he wants. It's not from the custom of Sulaiman alayhi salam or from his great quality, Sulaiman alayhi salam as being a prophet and a messenger, to do such action to destroy and demolish a valley of ants without him realizing.
And Sulaiman heard this. He was granted the ability to hear the ants. You know, it amazes me. I have sat and watched ants very, very carefully. They are so cooperative. When you have left a crumb on the floor, what will happen? One ant will notice it and go back to call the rest. He will share. Not like us. You find something, you quickly hide it from everyone else. I hope they did not see it. No, that is insane. But the ants, they care for one another. They have an ummah. They have really a feeling. And that ant will go and call the rest. They will all come on the end too. What does that mean? They use one highway. All of them use the same road to get to that item. They won't break the road. Have you seen it? I'm sure you have. You're wondering, where are they going? They're all going in one way. And there's two-way traffic. So you find those going, those coming back. Those that are coming back, look at them carefully. They hit the head of the one coming. For me, I don't know the language. They're probably saying, is it still there? They're saying, yes, it's there.
We can have a whole talk about ants and learn lessons from it and find that we are lacking in things which this ant and its kingdom had. This ant knew that if it runs away, it's not gonna survive because it's part of an ummah. It's part of a nation. And the survival of that ant depends on the survival of its ummah. And this is something that every Muslim should learn and realize. That your survival is based on the survival of your ummah. You have to have the support of the ummah. And you need to take care of the ummah. And you need to be concerned about the ummah. If you are not concerned about the ummah, then realize that you are dead. Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam understands the language of the ants, and he heard what they answered.
We don't know the language, but Sulaiman alayhi salam knew the language, so he understood. He understood it beautifully. He stopped his whole army, his entire army. He stopped it, and he smiled at the statement of the ant. What did he say?
He said, "My Lord, inspire me and bestow upon me the power and the ability that I may be grateful for your favors which you have bestowed on me and on my parents, and that I may do righteous good deeds that would please you, and admit me by your mercy among your righteous slaves."
He's not saying, "I thank you, Ya Allah. Grant me the ability to thank you," which means it's not lip service. When we want to thank Allah, we say Alhamdulillah. What is shukr? Shukr means I thank you. But if you are sinning and you are not reading your salah, what shukr is that? Is that gratitude? Here is Sulaiman fulfilling the instruction of Allah. He's saying, "Ya Allah, show me how I can thank you, Ya Allah." Look at the difference with us and with him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, he made this dua, "Ya Allah, grant me the ability to thank you, to be thankful to you, Ya Allah, for what you have bestowed upon me and my father. And on top of that, Ya Allah, keep me from those who only do pure deeds that will please you at all times. Protect me from bad and evil. Let me be from your humble worshippers and slaves. And through your mercy, grant me entry into the circle of worshippers who are pious." Look at the power of the dua. We are allowed to use the same words in our dua. We should, in fact, use those words.
Whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses you with a skill or blesses you with any ni'mah, whether it is wealth or intelligence or any ability, always thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for it. And whenever something good happens to you due to that skill, then immediately follow it with hamd. For example, when you pass an exam, the first reaction should not be jumping up and down in happiness. The first reaction should be Alhamdulillah. If your business goes well, the first reaction should be not to say, "Mashallah, I am a very intelligent and wise businessman." The first reaction which should be what? Alhamdulillah.
The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he narrates and he says, one of the prophets came out with a group of his nation asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for rain. While they were marching, that prophet saw an ant raising one of its feet or one of its legs, raising one of its legs towards the heavens, saying, "O Allah, we are a creation from your creation and we are all in need of your favors upon us." So that prophet, and that prophet was Sulaiman, he said to his people, "Go back, Allah will be sending the rain." And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mercy and rahmah over all his creation.
Another test happened to Sayyidina Sulaiman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, they were displayed before him in the afternoon, well-trained horses of the highest breed. This was like an army parade in front of Sayyidina Sulaiman to show his army. So they were marching the horses in front of him and he was inspecting the horses. When he was inspecting the horses, he got busy with that. And the time of Salah passed and he missed the Salah. Sulaiman was inspecting these horses and the time of Maghrib came before he prayed Asr. So he missed Asr. Then he said, "Bring these horses back to me." And he began to pass his hand over their legs and their necks.
Why was he doing that? Because he knew, firstly, he could communicate with the horses. Secondly, he would be able to tell the one that is fit to take part in the battle and the one that is not by the neck and by the legs. And to this day, a healthy horse is looked at by the way it holds its neck and by its legs and how it holds the leg and how it stands with the legs together when it is told to do that. These are the trained horses. Allahu Akbar. Thereafter, he sought forgiveness and he came back to us. In the sense that he sought a lot of forgiveness. When he was striking, when he was stroking the horses, he was making istighfar together with that. "Ya Allah, forgive me." Forgive me for what? For the fact that I had missed this afternoon prayer. One wonders exactly what type of prayer was prescribed in their Sharia. But with us, sometimes we are busy. Let's start from the children. With a computer game, time for Salah comes. "No, mom, I'm about to win." That is for children, the example. Let's get to us. Business deal, lucrative, mashallah. You need to close shop. Time for Jumu'ah. Say, no, just hang on, a few minutes. And you run for Jumu'ah and we're late. We're not talking of the afternoon prayer. We're talking of Jumu'ah. There are people who arrive late every Friday. Every Friday they come late. Why?
Let's go back to the ayah we talked about earlier. And the army of Sulaiman was assembled. The humans, the soldiers, the men, and the jinn and the birds. Huge army. He inspected the birds and said, "What is the matter that I see not the hoopy? Or is he among the absentees?" Al-Hudhud is a bird, hoopy. Sulaiman was inspecting his army of thousands or maybe millions, this huge army. And he notices the absence of one bird. Sayyidina Sulaiman was a king. He could spend his time in a palace. But he was the inspecting the army. And he was able to notice the absence of one bird.
One bird, one little bird was missing. Imagine what type of an eye he must have had, Sulaiman alayhi salam, that he's noticing from a huge army, one little bird missing. Subhanallah. And he says, "What is happening here? I don't see the hoopoe bird. Is he absent? What is it?" Questioning. He says, "This hoopoe bird shall be punished severely, or we might even execute it unless it comes with a clear, acceptable excuse." Why is it absent? We need to know. Look at what he is saying. He didn't just get upset and said, "Right, we're executing it." No. He says, "We will execute it or we will punish it. But if it has come with an acceptable excuse, we will accept the excuse."
But the hoopoe stayed not long. The bird came back.
The hoopoe bird, at a bit of a distance, speaks to Sulaiman alayhi salam and says, "I have come to you with knowledge that you do not have."
The bird is telling Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam that "I have grasped knowledge. I came over knowledge that you don't have." A statement like this cannot be said to many kings in the world today. If you say that, you are dead. But Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam, a Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with the humbleness of the Anbiya, Sayyidina Sulaiman was willing to listen and to learn even if it is coming from a bird.
He was really inquisitive. He wanted to know, what is it you know that I don't know? Talk to me, let's see. He says, I have come to you from Saba. I'm coming from Yemen, Sheba, known in Arabic as Saba. I have brought you some solid information, very authentic, reliable news. What is the news?
I came from Sheba, Saba, that town or city in Yemen. There is something taking place there that you don't know of. And then Sulaiman alayhi salam listened. And this bird says, the amazing thing is about that city, Sheba, their leader, their head is a woman, is a queen. And at that time, and before that time, and many centuries after that time, it wasn't common for a woman to lead a nation. So this thing, the bird itself was amazed. And she has everything. She has the power, she has the wealth, she has the army, she has the kingdom, she has everything around her. And she has a mighty throne.
I have seen a woman who has a kingdom there. She rules over her people. She's been granted a lot by Allah. She's got lots of wealth and authority. Yes, Sulaiman has wealth and authority of another level, but he is now making mention of a woman who has authority and wealth. And on top of that, she has a very, very great throne. Her throne is so beautiful, meaning her palace where she would sit on her throne is something amazing. Then he says something else.
And what's more amazing, O Sulaiman, that I found this lady, this queen, this leader of theirs, prostrating to the sun, her and her nation. The bird was so concerned, how could such a woman prostrate to the sun, prostrate to a creation of the creator, and not prostrate to the creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
They were worshipping the sun out there. When it comes out in the morning, they worshipped it. As until it set, they continued worshipping the sun in different ways and different forms. And what this hoopoe bird is saying, again, blaming shaitan. Shaitan is the one who beautified for them this, so they are not guided.
Even though the bird said that she has everything and she has a great throne, the end result of this surveillance of the bird is that these are the people who are misguided. The wealth, the power, the fact that they have everything did not take the bird away from stating the fact that this nation is a misguided nation. And then the bird said, Satan has barred them, so they do not worship Allah, who brings to light what is hidden in the heavens and the earth, and knows what you conceal and what you reveal. Allah, none has the right to be worshipped but He, the Lord of the Supreme Throne. Because the bird in the beginning said that she has a great throne. Then the bird said, Allah is the one who has the Supreme Throne. This is an ayah of sujood tilawa, so we will make sujood.
When we hear how the queen of Sheba and her people did not prostrate for Allah because shaitan led them astray, we are automatically saying, Ya Allah, we will fall prostrate to you, Ya Allah.
This woman was given from everything that a king would want or a queen would want. And the name of this woman is Al-Malika Bilqis. Her name is Bilqis.
Now, Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, he wanted to call her to Allah. But he realized that the description of this woman, she has kingdom, she has lots of wealth, she has power, she has people, she has her army, she has authority, she has so much. So Allah has blessed me with much more. Let me use what Allah has given me to show her that if you worship Allah, you will even have more than what you have right now. Look at Sulaiman's respect for one bird. Small little component of his army. And he says, okay, I've heard what you said. I need to make sure that what you've said is true. I need to find out whether you're just fooling me or whether you're telling the truth.
Sulaiman alayhi salam had written a letter. He gave it to that bird and he said, go and give them this letter and see what they come back with. Let us see what's their response. So that bird took that letter and dropped her off to the queen of Sheba. When she received that letter from Sulaiman alayhi salam, she called upon her people. She had a good character in which every leader must have, is consulting its people. So she called upon her people and she said, I just received a noble letter. Innahu min Sulaiman. This letter is from Sulaiman. And definitely everyone knows who Sulaiman alayhi salam. Sulaiman, the most powerful man at that time. Everyone knows who Sulaiman is. And everyone hears of Sulaiman. It's saying in the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. A letter coming from Sulaiman, starting with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Sulaiman written in that letter, do not have pride over me and surrender to me.
He says, this is from Sulaiman. In the name of Allah, most gracious, most merciful. Do not be haughty over us and come to us surrendering. Some might ask, why didn't he say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim? This is from Sulaiman. Why did he say this is from Sulaiman? Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. They say that had he written Allah's name first, if she had got angry and upset, she might have cursed Allah. So he wrote his name first. Had she got angry and upset, she would rather curse Sulaiman than to curse Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
This queen was what we call today very democratic. She would seek the advice of her followers. And subhanallah, we see in this queen many good qualities. You can see from her personality that she was very wise. And her wisdom ended up leading her into Islam.
Now she's asking her people, what should we do? She looks at all her people. Give me some decision regarding this matter. I don't want to make a final decision without you people being involved and without your witness and so on. So tell me. So they looked at her. They looked at her and they said, look, we are people with lots of power. We have a strong army. So now you decide what you want us to do.
They said, if you want us to fight, we are ready. But it is for you to command. So think over what you will command. So their opinion was, we are ready to do whatever you want us to do. If you want us to fight, we are ready to fight.
But she was very clever. She did not know the size of the army of Sulaiman. Because she now knows that if we are going to fight an army and they are stronger than us, look what she says.
She said, verily kings, when they enter a town, they despoil it and make the most honorable amongst his people the lowest. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala approved what she said and said, and thus they do.
Today on the globe, take a look at what happens. When huge armies walk in, those who are the leaders are the ones who are actually the most disgraced. So this woman understood it many, many years back, that do not confront this army. Let us try and make peace with the army. Let us see who these people are. She says, I'm going to send him a gift. A very, very valuable gift. I will send him with a few messengers from amongst you, and you can go, and when you go there, you should just have a peep. You have a peep and see the size of his army and bring back information for us. You know, so they are spies actually.
This method of dealing really shows her intelligence, because it's going to work if Sulaiman alayhi salam was not a prophet. Because why do kings invade lands? Why do governments go in war to other countries? Money. So she wants to send a gift to Sayyidina Sulaiman to convince him that we are gonna pay you rather than go to war with us and spend a lot of money in war. We gonna give you whatever you want. She called it a gift. It seems that it is little bit tilting towards being a bribe.
So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, these two people, obviously they were messengers, they left with the gift. As these people left with the gift, news got to Sulaiman. From who? From the hoopoe bird and from all his other members of the army, that these people are sending you a gift and this is what is happening. So he says, right, let's display the army, the entire army. So in the army now, there were lions, there were tigers, animals, birds, jinn kind, mankind, the wind, everything there, all. And these people are walking towards where Sulaiman alayhi salam is. And they're looking, and on top of that, his kingdom was displayed for them. They shook their heads, no ways. We want to face all these with our little army that we have there. They went to Sulaiman alayhi salam. It is reported they were actually feeling guilty to give this little gift because of how minute it became suddenly when they saw this throne of Sulaiman and they saw his army. They looked around him. They were shocked. They were amazed. Subhanallah. And as they tried to put forward this gift, Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam responds.
Sulaiman alayhi salam said, will you help me in wealth? What Allah has given me is better than what he has given to you. What can you offer me? And many of the Mufassirin say that Sulaiman alayhi salam here was not referring to the material possessions that he has, even though his material possessions are better than theirs. But Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam was referring to the Nubuwa that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him, the prophethood and the ilm of the religion. What I have is better than what you have. And then he said, you cannot buy me with this gift. This gift is not what will make me happy and pleasant. You are the ones who could bought off by gifts. Gifts make you happy, but this strategy will not work with me.
Indeed, you people are excited. You're getting happy regarding your gift. You don't know, I know the whole plan. I know the whole plot. I know absolutely everything. And you see our army, we have absolutely everything been given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Sayyidina Sulaiman said, go back and tell her that we are going to send her an army that she will not be able to resist. And we are going to drive them out of their land in a state of humility.
If she does not come within a certain time or period, I'll come to her with an army that she's never experienced. I'm going to come with an army that no one had ever seen before. And I'm going to take him out of that town. I'm going to take him out of that city with disgrace and humiliation. You want to bribe me? You want to buy me with wealth? No one could buy my deen.
So what happened? These people started going back. They got back to try and convince this woman to say there is a problem. What is the problem? This man has such a big army. There is no ways we will be able to overcome his army. Impossible. They began to describe it to her in such a way that they made her frightened. And she was convinced that something needs to happen. They told her, you need to go yourself to him and try and make peace. So we do not want to surrender to him, but we don't want to fight him either. And he left us with only one option.
This was the first step in her realizing that this man is not a man of dunya. He is not a man of this world. He is not seeking dunya. He is up to something else. That was the first step for her to come towards the religion.
So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made mention of what happened thereafter. As they were planning to leave, and they were planning now to come towards Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, Sulaiman tells his people, oh my people, which one of you can bring her whole throne, seeing that that was the biggest possession of hers? We said moments ago, one of the main possessions she had, beautiful throne of hers, with that little palace that she had, where she used to sit on the throne. Sulaiman says, which one of you can bring that throne to me here before they arrive here in submission? They are coming. Before they come here, bring the whole throne. Lift it up and bring it here.
The throne was the symbol of their kingdom. The throne was their pride. Now you might ask the question, how come Sulaiman alayhi salam wanted to bring the throne? What's the reason that Sulaiman alayhi salam wanted to show her miracle? The Anbiya alayhi salam, they exhibit their miracle in front of the people to prove the authenticity of the message. So he wanted to bring the throne before she arrives to show her that he is a Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first offer was made by Ifrit min al Jinn. He's a jinn who is at the highest levels of power among the jinn.
Ifrit, who was one of the most powerful jinn, he says, I will bring it to you before you get up from where you are seated. Sulaiman used to sit from the morning to the afternoon. So which means in one morning, I'll have it right in front of you, everything. And you know what? I am so trustworthy that all the different diamonds and the different jewelry and all the beautification and adornment, I will bring it in such a way that it will remain intact. Just lift it all off, fly it down here and drop it down. Meaning bring it exactly where you want it. Sulaiman alayhi salam, as he's still pondering, another one speaks. The one who had knowledge of the book. The one who had knowledge of the book, of revelation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are not so sure exactly who that was, but it is someone who had knowledge granted from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
One with whom was the knowledge of the scripture said, I will bring it to you within the twinkling of an eye. Before your eyes blinks, the throne is going to be in front of you.
I will bring exactly what this one wanted to bring before you get up, but I will bring it to you before your eye returns as it blinks next. And as he blinked, Allahu Akbar, it was in front of him.
What kind of a miracle is that? It's an amazing miracle. Within a blink of an eye, the throne was there. When Sulaiman saw that, Sulaiman was amazed himself. Subhanallah. Look at this power that Allah had given me. Look at these miracles. A throne, a massive throne. And ikhwana, Allah alam, some scholars ever exaggerate with that throne. They reckon the throne was like a palace. You're not talking about a little throne, a chair like this. You're talking about a big, massive throne. When Sulaiman saw the throne, came all the way from Yemen. That massive, gigantic, mighty throne came in front of him from Yemen within a split of a second. Sulaiman said, "Hada min fadli Rabbi." This is because from the favor of Allah Azza wa Jal. This is not because of me, not because of my powers. This is because of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the true mu'min, ya ikhwani. The true mu'min thanks Allah for everything.
What would we say? Look at what Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam says. This is from the virtue of my Rabb. He has granted me this amount of power that we've brought something semi-impossible right in front within the blink of an eye. Allah is testing me to see whether I am from amongst those who show gratitude and gratefulness or I am from amongst those who are ungrateful. And he continues to say, whoever is thankful, it will benefit him. And whoever is ungrateful, they are not going to harm Allah. Allah is independent and most and full of honor, which means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't need us to be grateful. We need to be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we are grateful, it will benefit us, not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now Sulaiman alayhi salam wanted to do something else. Sulaiman says, change slightly, modify and renovate her palace so that, meaning her throne and its surroundings, so that we want to see whether she notices that it is hers or she doesn't even know. So her throne came in and it was modified, which means it was renovated. So it was made more posh. One narration, again, a Jewish narration, makes mention that whatever she had in mind, that I'm going to fix this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to do that, Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam already had everything done and it was sitting there waiting. Sulaiman alayhi salam instructed the building of another palace within moments. What was that palace? His own throne where he was going to receive her. And he says, build it for me on the water, in such a way that its floor will be made of strong glass, but very, very thin. And she will be able to see the fish. And she will be able to see the various sea life underneath her feet. And it was made for him, blink of an eye. Everything was made, put there. Remember, he had the armies to do this for him. And as it was put there, now she comes. As she walked in, she was asked a question. She walked in now, she's looking at something looking very much like her own throne. Is this what your throne looks like? Now she's looking. Now listen to what went through her mind. My throne is there. We took so long to get here. It can't be mine. If it is mine, how did it get here? And if it is not mine, how is it copied so exactly? So she's confused. Now already she is being tackled. Her brain, remember, she used to worship the sun. And she knows Sulaiman, he is a Muslim. He worships Allah. Now her belief is being questioned because there's someone much more powerful than her. Her men already told her and now she's shocked again. And the greatness of her kingdom is being questioned because she sees someone with greater kingdom. So she says, it seems like this is mine. It seems like it. So she noticed that there are certain differences, but then again, she was uncertain how to respond. And Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam says, we were granted the knowledge of Islam before her and we surrendered to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah.
Refusing the gift was one step for her towards Islam. Bringing the throne was a second step for her towards Islam. It was said to her, enter As-Sarh. What is As-Sarh? As-Sarh is a special palace that was built for Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam. The floor was made out of glass, transparent glass, and under that glass was a flowing river. So when Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam told her to enter this palace, when she saw it, what did she think? She thought it was water. So she raised up her skirt.
Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam says, no need to do that. It is just a floor that is made of very fine, thick, strong glass. Subhanallah. Look at this. No need. Now she's again baffled, completely baffled. And she's thinking to herself, how big my kingdom is and how huge this kingdom of Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam is. Subhanallah, all her kingdom and all her knowledge, everything that she had in comparison to what Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam had was totally eclipsed. It was nothing. So now she starts pondering, I've been worshipping the sun, it hasn't helped me a lot, and it is now time to see what this man does. Humble, down to earth, Sulaiman, praying, thanking Allah. His character is exemplary. He's not haughty. He is very just amongst all his army. He is such a powerful person, such a good man. And this is when she's seen everything. And she decided, this is the moment I need to surrender. Remember, she was worshipping the sun. The light of that sun was being eclipsed. And a new light began to beam from her heart. That light which nothing can eclipse. Oh my maker, oh my creator, I have oppressed myself, I have done wrong all along. I surrender to you together with this Sulaiman for the one who has created the entire creation, Rabbul Alameen. She surrendered. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Just by looking, she surrendered. When she surrendered, her entire army surrendered. Everybody, all her people surrendered. They were all Muslimin under Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam. The first question that arises, many people believe that Sulaiman alayhi salam married Bilqis or the Queen of Sheba. That is just one narration that has come to us also from the riwayat, from the Israeliyat, the Hebrew narrations again. And other narrations make mention that she married a different man altogether from amongst the people of Sulaiman. And some narrations even say that the progeny of this queen is in Abyssinia, which is today the Ethiopian region. We don't know, we cannot, la nusaddiq wa la nukadhib, we neither believe it nor do we belie it.
We would talk about one of the major accomplishments of Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam, and that was the rebuilding and the expansion of the Masjid al-Aqsa. The Masjid al-Aqsa was not established by Sulaiman. Who is the one who built it? Sayyidina Yaqub alayhi salam. What Sulaiman did is that he expanded it or rebuilt it.
Masjid al-Aqsa, which was built before him by Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam, the prophet Jacob. And right next to it, he built a temple where he used to worship. And it is reported that the type of building and how long it took is amazing. And the forces that were used to make that temple something impossible for ordinary human beings to achieve. And over time, when the armies used to fight Jerusalem, they used to first attack the temple because it had treasures, it had so much in it. It is reported that that tabut, the Ark of the Covenant, was also kept there. To this day, there are obviously two narrations. One is, his temple was inside what is known as Masjid al-Aqsa. And two is, just outside Masjid al-Aqsa. So somewhere there, definitely. To this day, there are people who are digging right around Masjid al-Aqsa and underneath it. What is their idea? They want to find this foundation of the temple of Sulaiman. And they are saying, we were looking for the Ark of the Covenant. And in the process, they are destroying the masjid. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect the haram.
After he finished the building of Masjid al-Aqsa, he made a dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he asked Allah for three things. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Sulaiman asked Allah for three things. Allah has given him two things and we hope that Allah has granted him the third. Sulaiman asked Allah, number one, to make his judgment according to what Allah wants. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Allah has given him that. He was given that dua. The second dua, he asked Allah to give him a kingdom that will occur to nobody else, a unique kingdom. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, and Allah has given Sayyidina Sulaiman. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, and the third dua of Sayyidina Sulaiman was that if any man leaves his home with no intention other than praying in Masjid al-Aqsa, the Father's Mosque, then O Allah, take him out of the masjid as if he was left out with no sins, just like the day he was born. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, and we ask Allah that he has given him that dua. So this dua was done by Sayyidina Sulaiman and was repeated by Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we expect that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept that dua. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us salah in Masjid al-Aqsa. and to free it and to give it back to the Ummah of Islam, the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
There was a very interesting rumor that spread at the time that the jinn, they know the unseen. And Allah wanted to prove, forget about the unseen. They don't even know what is in front of them at times. How did Allah prove that? Sulaiman alayhi salam used to stand with his stick. They were frightened.
And they used to get scared from Sulaiman. When Sulaiman used to order them to do something, they'll run to it. And when Sulaiman is present, they'll continue to work. And they used to build palaces for Sulaiman alayhi salam. And one day, when they were building a big, massive palace for Sulaiman, Sulaiman was there present, watching them. And when the jinn see Sulaiman is there, they'll be so active non-stop. And there Sulaiman is watching, monitoring what the jinn are doing and building. And he had a stick. While he was on that stick, at that time Allah Azza wa Jalla took his soul. It's been narrated that Sulaiman alayhi salam passed away, leaning on that stick with his eyes opened. Who's continuing to work? The jinn. And the jinn are working so hard. And Sulaiman, when is he going to go? When is he going to give us a break? He's still watching us.
A day passed, 2 days passed, a time passed, a long time passed. And all the jinn were working very, very hard in front of him, building something that he had wanted. When he passed away, Sulaiman, in that position with his stick, nothing led them to know that he died except the little ant that started eating the stick. The stick was wooden. The ant started eating the stick. When the ant began to eat the stick from the bottom, as it came up, at a certain point, after some time, the stick broke. When the stick broke, Sulaiman alayhi salam, who was balanced on it as a dead man, dropped. So Allah says, when he fell down, it was now known to everybody that had the jinn known the unseen, they would not have been punishing themselves by working so tirelessly in front of him. Yet he wasn't even there. Subhanallah.
Subhanallah. The jinn, they do not know al-ghaib. The magicians and the fortune tellers, they depend on al-jinn. And they claim that jinn know the future. And since we have connection with the jinn, we can know and tell what will happen in the future. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if the jinn knew al-ghaib, if they knew the unseen, they wouldn't have remained in the punishment. The jinn, they do not have any knowledge whatsoever about the unseen, except what they steal from the conversation when they eavesdrop on the angels. That's the only information that they have. And they mix one piece of truth with 99 lies.
That when he died, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it a great sign for humanity at large and for the jinn kind as well. That look, oh jinn, never mind, you don't know the unseen, but worse than that, something right in front of you, the man is dead, you don't even know he's dead. For a long, long time. Imagine the type of fear and awe that they had for Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam. Yet he was very, very humble. We saw how he spoke to the ant. He spoke to the hoopoe bird. He spoke to all his people. He spoke to the Queen of Sheba with utmost respect. Yet he had more than anybody else. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, at the same time, our worshipper, ni'ma al-abdu innahu awwab. He was a very, very excellent worshipper of ours. He too used to turn to us often. Allahu Akbar.
We move on to another part of the story of Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam. In the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi salam and until now, a lot of things have been attributed to Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam, which are untrue. One of which is magic.
Inshallah, we have an appointment with that. Until we meet again, wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabina Muhammad. Subhanallah bihamdih. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayhi.